We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. This is quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle closing things out with another little fan Q&A from Greg's Twitter feed. I don't even know. We don't really have a title for this yet, Greg. But this
it's
is just
that.
Yeah, just a Twitter Q&A. Good questions that come through. Greg seems to get a lot of them that we didn't answer in the Ask Greg segment earlier in the week. And so we're going to get to them now. We'll start with Jeff. This piggybacks off our previous segment, our redshirt review series. Jeff wants to know which breakout redshirt freshman and true freshman will have star performances this year.
Yeah.
Give me one of both. Give me a redshirt that you really, really like, and then the true freshman, some obvious names on that list.
Yeah, so I mean, we've been doing this little series of redshirt rundowns all offseason long, and I think that, you know, the one guy, KJ Hamler's such the obvious pick that I don't really want to go that way. I'm going to go with Journey Brown. I think that you won't see him line up in the backfield as much. However, I am going to boldly predict that he returns one kick for a touchdown this year and becomes a reliable return man for the Nittany Lions at a time when they really, really need one, because Saquon Barkley, who did it so well, of course, is no longer on the roster. So Journey Brown's my redshirt pick, and then my freshman pick, I am going to keep it simple and just go with Micah Parsons. We know he's going to play. We know he's going to make an impact, so it makes him a pretty easy pick.
Yeah, I mean, certainly we've gone through all the names in the redshirt review series, and I appreciate your not going off the board a little bit. And it's interesting with Journey Brown, because his running back instincts and his long speeds just seem tailor-made for kick returns. I don't think we have a lot of evidence to suggest that that's going to be an impact part of his game right away, but we have questions about that, about the return units, and
right.
He would be a really interesting answer to one of those groups. Justin Shorter, obviously, is a true freshman, somebody to watch there too. BK, I think I answered this last week. We did an impromptu Ask Dustin, but I'm curious your thoughts too. Who starts at tight end, linebacker, and safety?
Okay, so tight end, I am going to go. Who'd you go with? Do you remember?
Jonathan Holland.
Okay, so you're on the Holland train. I'm going to go with Danny Dalton. I like what I saw from him this spring. I just think that none of them stayed healthy, so you can't trust that. None of them have really been big participants in spring, so it's hard to trust that. But Dalton did the most of any of them. So as long as one of the freshmen don't overtake him, I feel like there's no choice but to go with him. Though Pat Freiermuth and Zach Kuntz will certainly make a push for the starting job at that position.
I think I said Jonathan Holland, been pretty much said the same thing. I don't think you can go with anybody else, because he's got some ability and he's got some experience. And can you say both of those things about anybody else on the depth chart? And I don't know what that ends up counting as. And maybe going into a real competition for reps, maybe it just doesn't mean much in the end. But
right.
He seems to be the most talented guy at the furthest point along in his career. We'll see what that means. What about linebacker? Cole Farmer, pencil him in. Who do you like at the middle and the weak side?
I mean, I think if I was forced to make a pick today, when they go
you
base
are.
4-3. Oh, okay, good. Yeah. when they go base, it's probably to start the season Cam Brown, Jan Johnson, and Koa Farmer. If Cam Brown becomes a middle linebacker, which they did a lot of testing with him at that position in the spring, but is he big enough to hold up there? I just don't know. But, you know, I think it's probably those three with Micah Parsons getting involved. I have a hard time seeing Jesse Lucada not getting some snaps. So, I mean, there will be a bit of a rotation there. But then when they go to the 4-2-5, it should just be Brown and Farmer. And Lamont Wade comes in as a fifth defensive back. And maybe you see three Castro Fields get some work in that regard as well.
They've got some interesting components there. Ellis Brooks is another one. We just don't know. We don't know much about that middle linebacker spot. The Penn State coaches, I'm sure, have a more clear idea of what they want to see happen.
Yeah.
But I think a lot is still unsettled there. Cam Brown, Ellis Brooks, and Jan Johnson. Is Jan Johnson good enough to be a starter? Is
right.
Jan Johnson going to be that next Brandon Smith, who maybe is an injury away from becoming a starter? We'll see how it works. Certainly one experienced guy there.
Yeah.
Safety, your two starters there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that it's Nick Scott help me out, Garrett Taylor at this point. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen or heard anything to suggest that an Aaron Monroe or somebody is going to overtake Jonathan Sutherland and Mont Wade. I don't think, at least in the beginning, that either of those guys are going to be overtaken. Nick Scott looks likely to slide into the more of the Marcus Allen role in Brent Pry's defense, where he's, you know, he's driving downhill a lot, he plays a lot in the box, and he forces a lot of havoc at the line of scrimmage, whereas then Garrett Taylor can be, you know, like more of the Troy Apke or the Malik Golden, the true safety that plays a lot of downfield stuff. So I think the Lions have found their answer, at least for the early part of the season, with those two.
I thought it was interesting, at some point in time, maybe it was sometime around the blue-white game, Franklin hinted at Nick Scott maybe being that next big tester type. Nick Scott never really jumped off the page to me as a elite athlete.
No.
But I think Penn State, if you were ever doubting their ability to improve guys in that regard, the NFL draft was 100% proof of that. I would have never thought Deshaun Hamilton would run as quick as he did. 2 years ago, I didn't think Chris Godwin had a sub 4.5 40 in him.
Uh-huh.
Mike Gesicki was one of the big stars. Obviously, Saquon Barkley was somebody who people were expecting to be a star. But then with Apke and Christian Campbell, physically, the way that these guys develop from day one till their last days of their career has been phenomenal. And it was one of the reasons why I didn't really view it as overhyping anything. I really think Nick Scott might be that next guy in line. Who's it been? Malik Golden, Jordan Lucas, Troy Apke, Nick Scott as your one-year veteran safety starters who go on to do things that you didn't expect from them.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, it's been a really nice run of success, but the problem, I think, is that at some point you need an actual safety that comes as a safety. I mean, I guess if it continues to work out, you can't knock it, but at some point you think it's probably not going to work out. So the fact that you're able to keep moving guys is nice, but at some point it'd be good, and I think Penn State has them, but it'd be good to, you know, lock in, you know, a true, and I think, like I said, Penn State's got a couple of them lately that you know, should be good for the future. Jonathan Sutherland, you know, Isaiah Humphries and Trent Gordon, you know, they should be moving forward in much better shape.
In that respect, safety and defensive tackle have the same feel to it. Penn State has spent a few years making the most of the talent they had,
right,
while they were building up the overall talent level of the position. And so safety and defensive tackle can really turn a corner in either 2018 or 2019.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you look at what Penn State's done recruiting those positions. I just think that they're very, very close to finally having the proper depth. It's not just numbers, but also good numbers. And it's not to disparage anyone that came before Penn State. However, it really just is simply a matter of that, you know, when you get down to it, the best teams have these defensive linemen in particular that, again, can go back and make a quarterback's life very unfun. And Penn State hasn't necessarily had that consistently over the last few years. I think they're getting close, though.
Getting close. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is a little Twitter Q&A with Greg Pickle. Eric wants to know, it's a multi-part question as well. Number one, would Penn State take Lewis Cine, the four-star safety out of Texas, with an already loaded DB class?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think they would take many defensive backs still on the board, but I absolutely think that Cine's one of them. And, you know, again, like we've talked about before, Penn State wasn't a great place with him when he lived in Massachusetts, but now that he's moved, it certainly has not helped matters any. And they're certainly not the favorite anymore. I don't know how far they've fallen off, but all the Texas schools, a bunch of Southern schools, you know, this kid is a stud. He's only going to get more interest and offers as people down in Texas and down South realize how good this kid is. So, I mean, I just don't see Penn State landing him, but they would certainly take him if the opportunity presented itself.
I think it got complicated when he moved, and I think there was some conclusion to draw about where Penn State is with Jaquan Brisker in the mix, the JUCO safety, with Marquise Wilson, the cornerback, and with Tyler Rudolph, the safety. I think they feel good enough about that group to not have put on the full court press at the end of Cameron Kelly's recruitment, the Virginia four-star defensive back.
Right.
Really, it seems like it might be Lewis Cine or bust here at DB. I don't know if I'm reading into that wrong or not.
No, it sounds exactly right to me. You know, could there be some guys they go after later in the game should, you know, maybe a decommitment happen or someone explode during their senior year that Penn State wasn't expecting? Sure, that's always a possibility, but I think you're probably spot on that front for right now.
He also wants to know how close is the first 2020 commitment. I think there are some people in the Penn State community who are longing for commitments when they see Ohio State doing what they're doing in the 2020 class already.
Yeah, I mean, Dustin, you look at the team rankings there. I mean, obviously Ohio State's gotten off to a very good start, and they're not the only one, but they're the closest one to Penn State. But five commits for it, five commits for Alabama, four apiece for Texas A&M and Oklahoma. Auburn, LSU, Notre Dame, South Carolina, and even Michigan have three. Penn State, of course, has none. So is that a problem? No, I don't think so. I mean, you and I have sort of beat this issue to death. It's that you can't expect every recruiting cycle to be the same, and you can't just assume that because recruits decided to commit at one point in a previous cycle that they're going to suddenly do the same thing in the next cycle. Sometimes you're going to be out ahead of the curve, and sometimes you're going to be behind. If you look at how many offers Penn State has sent out in the class of 2020, it's not that they haven't sent any out, and it's not that they're sort of waiting around and hoping for the best that the ones that they sent out commit, but you know, they have about 180 out right now in the 2019 class, according to 247 Sports. They have just about 70 out, according to 247 Sports, in the class of 2020. Keep in mind a couple of things. One, some of these kids are already committed elsewhere. Two, some of the kids on here that claim they have offers do not, or at least not ones they could commit to. So it's probably closer to 60 offers Penn State has out right now. So there's still another 100 to 120 prospects, if not more, that the Lions are going to offer in this class. You'll start seeing the commitments come sooner rather than later as that number grows.
Third part of the question here, will Josh Gattis' influence with the 2019 class hopefully end with them? Seems like a handful went to Bama that could have easily been Penn State commits.
Yeah, I mean, Dustin, I think that question forgets that Josh Gattis is still a super recruiter and that Alabama is still Alabama. And when you put those two things together, I mean, he's going to be able to recruit wherever Nick Saban wants him to recruit. It doesn't matter if it's at Alabama or Penn State or here, there, or anywhere. I mean, it's simply a fact that Josh Gattis had good relationships with Mid-Atlantic prospects, and that probably will impact the class of 2020. Maybe it rescinds some in the class of 2021 and beyond, but again, good recruiter, good school. He's going to be able to recruit wherever he wants, whenever he wants, as long as he's at Alabama. And of course, as long as he's anywhere, he's going to be a good recruiter. So I don't necessarily think the influence is going to stop at the end of this cycle, as some seem to hope.
Yeah, I think the connections to this area are going to go a little deeper than that. Well, let's do a real quick question here. I don't think there was a name associated with this one. Who will the next commit be in Penn State's 19 class?
Yeah, I mean, you can't almost have to go with Salim Wormley, right? I mean, he's the next target to decide. He'll make his announcement July 23. I think that Penn State is definitely in the driver's seat for that recruitment. I mean, he obviously is far and away, he's deciding between Penn State and Rutgers, so I think that pretty much speaks for itself. He's announcing on a Monday, so that'll be interesting for this show, but we'll have more on that next week. In time will tell, but I have to think it's him deciding next week.
Michael Johnson Jr., the four-star quarterback from Oregon, is announcing August 1st. So those are the two big dates, I think, to watch. July 23, August 1st. And that's it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Download the Keystone Sports app, and we'll see you next time.
It's time to own summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't-do-this-anywhere-but-Pennsylvania summer. Hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light-loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.